This is Jay Sekulow. Judicial nominees now before the Senate.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Senator McConnell, once again, despite his desire to make the Senate work, and I believe that is sincere, is bending to the hard right of his party by jamming through these judges, breaking the norms and traditions of the Senate in the process. I intend to oppose these extremist nominees.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Our Constitution is very clear. We don't have freedom of worship. We have the free exercise of religion, meaning you can have a faith and live your faith and not get in the way of both your public service or your public enterprise.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, here's what we've got. Amy Barrett, you remember, she was the Notre Dame law professor. She is now scheduled to be confirmed to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. We also have Michigan Supreme Court Justice Joan Larson to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit, Colorado Supreme Court Justice Allison Eed to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Tenth Circuit, and University of Pennsylvania law professor Stefanos Bibas to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Third Circuit. So on, this is what I think is important here. You got to understand the nature of the fight on these judicial nominees. You heard the statements just now, actually, from Chuck Schumer, Senator Schumer. And he doesn't like the fact that they're going through with this with a straight up and down vote according to the Constitution. In other words, they're not waiting for the 60 filibuster. That's all out. Here's the issue. You've got to remember what they put Barrett through. Let's take a look back at what was said to her during her confirmation hearings. The questions that were asked, they were frankly outrageous and offensive.
When you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern when you come to big issues that large numbers of people have fought for years in this country.
You know, this whole dogma lives deeply within you, the idea that when you read your speeches, why is this acceptable in the United States of America? And the fact is, it's not. Now, Fan Bennett, our director of government affairs, tell us where we are right now on this, because I know it's moving right now.
Well, yeah, that's a violation of Article 6 of the Constitution, as you know, Jay. No religious test. Where we are right now, there are going to be four circuit court judges, including Amy Barrett, confirmed this week. Jay, her final vote is likely to be tonight after midnight. And guess what? The only reason that vote is going to be after midnight is because the minority in the Senate, as we speak, they are running the 30 hours of clock that they are technically allowed to run under the rules. Jay, she's going to be overwhelmingly approved. Three Democrats voted for her last night. Her confirmation is going to happen. Today, they're merely stalling.
All right, so here's what we've got to find out, and this is what's important here. You got judicial nominees. They have done this, and we're going to go through these questions again because I think it's, you know, can we come back from the break, this, you know, question about, are you an Orthodox Catholic, as if that was a violation of the Constitution. And they thought they could get away with it, but the end result is this is going to be a good win for the American people. They did not get away with it.
And I actually do believe that because they used this on a circuit court nominee who was not getting a ton of attention, let's be honest, that Amy Barrett, these nominees don't become an issue unless a senator or group of senator makes them an issue. They make them a name. And so she's become this symbol for religious liberty and religious freedom. And I think it sets a bar. And what it told these Democrat senators, you can question all you want about Roe versus Wade and judicial philosophy. When you start telling people that their dogma lives deeply within you and things like that, that's not going to fly at the circuit court level, which also means it's not going to fly for a Supreme Court nominee, because that's ultimately where these biggest battles take place.
And that's what they're fighting over. All right, we're going to take your calls and comments coming back from the break. What do you think about these judges going through? And what's your reaction to the religious bias of some of these senators? We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
That's right. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. You can also find us broadcasting live on social media, Facebook, Periscope. Just search for Jay Sekulow on Facebook. You'll see it's the latest post on Twitter and Periscope at Jay Sekulow. Broadcasting live there right now, but phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. Once again, 1-800-684-3110. Phone lines are open.
Yeah, again, we're talking about judges. We're going to talk about tax reform as well. A lot to cover. 800-684-3110. We'll take your calls as we come back from the break.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to rise, and suddenly,
to my surprise, Logan picked these songs for today.
I did not.
Where did you say that came from? Where did you say that song came?
That was like a cassette recording of Monster Mash. I don't know where we.
Did everybody remember Monster Mash?
That's where we're.
Long time ago. Everybody likes Logan's costume. Who are you being?
I'm the Macho Man Randy Savage. See, it doesn't really work if you're listening on radio. And then I'll just start going, oh, yeah. Okay. Which I think isn't really going to work for the radio audience.
Let me go back to the series.
Right, Rewatch is definitely going to use this.
Ooh. Yeah, they will be using this.
Don't make a big mistake.
Okay. We're having a good time on radio today. All right, so this week we've got four judges up, including Amy Barrett. Remember this from Dick Durbin when he was questioning Amy Barrett? Take a listen to this one down memory lane.
Do you consider yourself an Orthodox Catholic?
I am a Catholic, Senator Durbin. I don't, Orthodox Catholic, we kind of, as I said in that article, we just kind of use that as a proxy. It is not, to my knowledge, you know, a term currently in use, but if you're asking whether I take my faith seriously and I'm a faithful Catholic, I am, although I would stress that my personal church affiliation or my religious belief would not bear on the discharge of my duties as a judge.
But could you imagine, are you an Orthodox Jew? Are you a devout Muslim? Are you do you have serious convictions of your faith as a Southern Baptist? I mean, these are questions coming from United States senators. I mean, does that ring okay to you? Because it sure doesn't to me. All right, we're taking calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to talk about tax reform coming up a little bit later in the broadcast. That's going to be announced tomorrow. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Let's go to Robert, Maryland, line 3.
Hey, Robert, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. How you doing, Jordan, Jay, and Logan? I wanted to ask you all, do you believe that the Democrats in the U.S. Senate are going to stop abusing something in the U.S. Senate called the blue slip privilege, which allows home state senators to give their opinion about a particular nominee for a judicial position, and that they'll stop abusing that and allow President Trump to get through his nominees?
So that you're talking about the blue slip, which is a tradition, again, not a rule, not a regulation, certainly not required in the Constitution. Let's walk everybody first through what the blue slip is. I think that's important. I'll go to Than on that, and Jordan, I got a question for you on the legal side, but let Than walk through what the blue slip is.
Yeah, Robert asked a great question. The blue slip traditionally has been, it's a precedent of the Senate to give home state senators a right to weigh in on judges that come from their state. Now, Jay, different Senates, different Judiciary Committee chairmen have treated this differently. Some have treated it as an absolute veto. Some of it has have treated it as just advisory. Leader McConnell, to his credit, has says that he does not want the blue slip to be an absolute veto. And if you look at the way that Chairman Grassley is treating it, it looks like we've made great progress on that. Right now, Jay, there is only one blue slip that has not been returned. And here's just the truth. There are 20 judges that have been reported out of the committee and are on the floor waiting for a vote. So that's really where the bottleneck is right now. I have a lot of confidence right now that Leader McConnell and Chairman Grassley are committed to not letting, in this case, Democrats abuse the blue slip. But look, if the bottleneck shifts back to committee, then I think we return our focus there.
Yeah, so right now, I mean, McConnell said that the majority leader said he was going to do away with the blue slip requirement. And then Senator Grassley said, well, that's really within the jurisdiction of his committee. But what I want to say is none of that is in the Constitution. None of that is in the Senate rules. It's a tradition of the Senate. And why are we letting a tradition of the Senate dictate the rules of dictate over the Constitution of the United States? Because you tell me where it says blue slip in the Constitution. Tell me where it says the home state senator can veto. That's not what it says at all.
No, I think that these are traditions that are long overdue to be thrown in the trash. This is why people have changed who they're electing. It's why you have some senators resigning. It's the idea that we look at the Senate. The Senate is unique because there's 100 senators. It will always be unique because of that. It's a smaller group than the House of Representatives, and they have longer terms, which are constitutionally mandated. But they've given themselves this kind of aura of power that is absurd. Now, they write their own rules, but I think that's why the swamp, if you will, also applies to some of these elected officials. And you see the ones who no longer can deal with the modern day of politics resigning. They're leaving because people are just fed up with this idea that you elect, you can have a Republican majority, and then you allow a Democrat senator from one state to prevent a conservative judicial nominee from going forward. That is not the way we should be governing with our constitutionally elected officials. They should follow their constitutional duties. That's that. I mean, they have to have rules and procedures in place, but that way too much deference has always been given to these individual senators. I think we live in a new day and age where people don't put up with the good old boys club anymore, if you will.
Yeah, so the question will be, and this is the question is, you know, you look at the nature, and I want to ask our audiences, I mean, when I play those questions for you that they are asking of these judicial nominees about their faith, how do you react to that? We'll take your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Because I want to know what you think about that. Because we're sending a message to the Senate that this is not, these lines of inquiry were inappropriate. Now, it looks like we're going to get that because of you, we've been aggressive on this, we're going to get these judicial nominees confirmed. But again, this process, this tradition that was in place created this entire environment that allowed this to go forward. And it just should not be that way. We'll take your calls again at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Logan, you want to take a call or a comment?
A lot of good comments. Lori said this anti-Christian bigotry should not be surprising. And Gloria said Amy Barrett sounds very qualified. So a lot of comments like that.
Yeah, I mean, Amy Barrett is very well qualified, ranked very well qualified, highest quality ranking by the American Bar Association. Now, the question is, and I'm going to ask this to Than, what kind of pushback did Durbin get? Did Feinstein get? What kind of pushback did they get when they started asking these questions?
Well, certainly a lot from the American people, and Jordan's talked a lot about this. I think nationwide, the Democrat Party actually suffered quite a bit because of these comments. Maybe not them specifically in their states, but represent some very leftist states. But, Jay, I think it's very appropriate that in the wake of that, she's the very first one listed on the Senate floor. I mean, we've been very clear on this broadcast that Republicans are the ones that control that spigot. It should, frankly, be moving much more quickly. But I don't think it's any accident that she is first in line. I actually think their comments had the reverse effect that they intended. And I think the fact that she's the first one out of the chute on the Senate floor, I think it's because the American people pushed back against them.
And I think the fact is that we're going to see them confirmed, but this is part of the fight that you got to get into. All right, Logan, let's go ahead and grab another phone call here.
All right, continuing on. Let's go to Gregory, who's calling in Montana on line one.
Hi, Gregory, you're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Go ahead.
So I just had a comment about how our youth, which I'm a part of, I'm 24 years old, have really been focusing, if not being focused, towards the Republican Christian right, you know? And I feel as if...
Okay. I think we're having some issues with Gregory's connection there.
Is that what it is?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah. So, Gregory, what was the question you were asking?
The question, it was more of a comment.
Okay. Did you make your
the
comment?
The youth are not interested
in
conservatives in being a Christian, I believe is what he said. And he is one of them. Gregory, I'm sorry. We're not sure if we're following your comment or not. It's Halloween. People get a little stumbly. So let's go ahead. Let's go to Richard in Ohio online, too. Sorry, Gregory. I'm sure I understand your comment. I just don't know what you'd like us to say back. So, and, you know, you're 24. I consider you adult also. Not necessarily. You're not a young child anymore.
Himself youth.
Yeah.
Youth, I think, is 8 to 14 years old.
Yeah, youth. I mean, come on now. All right, Richard, Ohio, you're on the air.
Hey, Richard, go ahead.
All right. The chairman of the committee that was interviewing the candidate who was Catholic for the judgeship, the chairman of the committee, why didn't he stop the questioning at that moment and point out to the honorable senator from California that she needed to be schooled in the Constitution, that her question was inappropriate?
Well, this is, look,
was a violation of the rights.
Yeah, well, I mean, but the fact is, this is what I said, is they thought they could say it. So they said it. I mean, we're not, you know, these are their words. And Amy Barrett, to her credit, answered the question. But she said it. Feinstein said it. Durbin said it. Now, here's what, because other senators have spoken out against this. Ted Cruz has, others have as well. So did Senator Lankford. Here's what Senator Lankford said.
I'm shocked that this is still a conversation in our nation, that we become a nation that's become afraid of people of faith. You can have a faith and you can have a name on your faith. Just don't ever let anyone see it. That's not who we are. That's not who we should be. And I'm glad we're moving forward on Amy Barrett's nomination to be able to say, let's evaluate people based on their qualifications, not based on their private faith.
So I understand Ben Sasse also spoke out about this. Is that correct, Van?
Yeah, Ben Sasse, Ted Cruz, James Lankford, Senator Grassley, really a lot of them, Jay, and all of them went back to the very first point that we made on the day this happened, that Article 6 prohibits this kind of religious test. So I actually think the pushback was good. I'll say this, it was revealing, though. I don't actually want those questions to be stopped in the moment. I think they should be revealing and let the American people see their elected officials who think this kind of test is permissible.
All right, we're going to be joined by our senior counsel, Andy Economo, talk more about judges when we come back from the break. We've got a lot more to discuss. We also have a piece out right now, if you get our email alerts, and that is about Planned Parenthood and the issue of abortion. We've got a Supreme Court case pending, and it's going to be, again, back in conference on Friday in defense of crisis pregnancy centers. We'll talk a little bit about that later in the broadcast as well. So we've got a lot more ahead, including your phone calls at 800-684-3110. Lines are jammed now, but they'll open up. And Logan will let you know how you can get your comments in as well.
That's right. Phone lines are completely jammed right now, but they'll open up, like you said. Some of the calls don't make it on the air. 1-800-684-3110. You can always get your comments on social media. We're also taking calls and comments, not calls, taking comments during the break. So make sure you're watching online when the show doesn't end. Be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, The ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
It's Halloween, so we're playing ghost music, yes. I guess is what it is. And Logan is dressed like Randy, Macho Man Randy Savage.
I mean, lightly.
Lightly, so.
I'm like macho bound. I'm just like just
and
a
Dr.
little bit.
Andrew Khan was here, and he's dressed like, what are you dressed like,
Andy? Like I usually am.
I believe that's a blue shirt, though.
When was the last time you dressed up for Halloween?
Oh, when I was about seven, yeah, I think.
Yeah. He is wearing a blue shirt.
Oh, there you go.
That's your costume. That's your not wearing a sport coat today, so there you have it. All right, back to our... Andy, let's on a serious note here. So the Republicans have said that the Democrats were bringing Catholic bigotry back to the halls of Congress when they went through that whole routine with Amy Barrett. Now we're about to get Amy Barrett confirmed. I think it's fair to say that their questioning and their tone of questioning has really backfired on them in a very significant way, especially within the faith community, but others as well.
It has. It's reprehensible when we really think about it. All kidding aside, we need to realize the Constitution says there shall be no religious test for judicial appointments. And here is Dick Durbin, the assistant majority leader, who's asking this woman, Amy Barrett, who has a distinguished record as a professor at Notre Dame, whether she's an Orthodox Catholic. In other words, are you too Catholic? Right. Do you believe in Thomas Aquinas' theology a little bit too much? So, you know, the 13th century scholastics may have influenced you too much. Or somebody, maybe you're too much of a Greek Orthodox Christian, and you believe in what the Holy Fathers of the Church said, and we're going to really put that to the religious test. This is wrong. These things ought not to be permitted. And to hear a United States senator asking this question is a throwback to a religious test that is unconstitutional.
It is unconstitutional because Article 6 says that there's no religious test for office. It couldn't be. No religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. I mean, it could not be any clearer than that. Now, here's the question I'm going to ask Than, then we'll take some more calls. Than, we raised this issue aggressively on the Hill. We raised it in our media advocacy as well. How effective has it been, and what are you expecting to happen tonight? Because this is a big win for the American people.
Yeah, the proof is in the pudding, Jay. I mean, there are going to be five judges confirmed this week, and I think it's largely due to two things. One, the highlighting of the abuse of Article 6 that was taking place in the hands of the Democrats. And then also, Jay, highlighting that it was entirely within the scope of the Republicans to improve the pace. I mean, look, they're not going to get very many Democrat votes for these five judges, and yet all five of them are going to be confirmed this week. I would just put out there that it's time for the Democrats to stop using the religious test. And, Jay, it's time for the Republicans to start confirming, let's say, five judges every single week because they're in charge and they can get it done.
All right, let's go ahead and take some phone calls. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Who do we have next?
Let's go to Lynn, who's calling in Oregon on line one.
Hi, Lynn, go ahead.
Hi, I'm part of a small minority in liberal Oregon, but I really believe that this blue slip law and others like it are kind of archaic. They kind of go back to when there wasn't communication immediate among the whole country. They had to wait and find out how their state thought about it. None of these are applicable anymore, and we should examine a lot of rules and regulations in the whole house and get rid of some of them.
Well, Lynn, this one is not even a rule or a regulation or a policy. It is a Senate tradition, Andy. That's all it is.
Yeah, Lynn, you said blue slip law. That's not a law. This is something that was just concocted by the Senate through its arcane traditional rules, in which it says that the state senator, United States senator from the state where the nominee comes, is supposed to return this thing called a blue slip, indicating that they have no objection to this nominee. And Senator McConnell, the majority leader, has said he's doing away with that. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that a senator from a home state of the nominee has a right to veto that nominee. nominees for the federal judiciary appointed by the president with the advice and consent of the Senate, and now it's a majority vote. End of story. You don't have these vetoes coming in like people like Senator the comedian, what's his name, Al Franken, the jokester from Minnesota, who sits in the United States Senate, who is vetoing nominees by withholding the blue slip. What kind of nonsense is this?
It is nonsense, and the fact is, it's over with. And they brought their own policy or their own tradition to an end by usurping constitutional authority that was vested in the Senate's advice and consent clause. It's that simple. All right, we got a lot of calls coming in. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Dennis in Alabama on line 4.
Hey, Dennis.
You're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Very quickly, my point is that this is just further proof that there's a lot of our elected representatives who are refusing to uphold their sworn oath. They have a duty to perform, and they're not doing it. They're ignoring the Constitution, and they should be held accountable for it.
Well, look, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee shares your concerns as well, Dennis. Here's what Senator Grassley said.
The Constitution specifically provides that, quote, no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office under the United States. It's one of the most important founding principles. And yet I saw members seeking to understand just how Catholic Professor Barrett considered herself, as if this is relevant to assessing her credentials to be on the bench.
So this, I think these are, look, we're going to play more of these statements as these votes take place tonight, but your voice was heard on this, folks. We got a lot of people responding to this, and the end result of that is, yeah, your voice was heard, and those nominees are being confirmed tonight. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, do we have time for one more call here before the break, or do you want to take a comment?
Let's see here. Here's a comment from Norma. It said, no religious test has ever been required to any office or public trust. Has the Senate forgotten this? This is a comment.
Well, it seems like they thought.
Faith any of their business? That's from Mary Lou.
Yeah, well, but Andy, they thought they could get it. Here's the thing that's so interesting to me. Those senators, Durbin, Feinstein, and some of the others, thought they could get away with this. They thought they could actually ask those questions as if those were serious questions to be answered seriously.
And they were asking those questions, and they were taking themselves very seriously in posing the questions. But finally, they got slapped down. Feinstein experienced a tremendous backlash, and I think for the statement that she made with respect to the dogma runs deep within you. What about the liberal dogma running deep within Senator Feinstein? Yeah. How deep does that run?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the nature of what you're dealing with, and the end result is votes tonight. Now, I want Than to recap really quickly here how that's going to work this evening.
So last night, Jay, the Senate nominees, 54-42 to invoke cloture on Amy Barrett. So her vote, her confirmation vote will happen shortly after midnight tonight, and then they'll move to the next one. It'll take a series of a few days to get to all of them. But, Jay, a simple majority is required late tonight to confirm Judge Barrett. 54 voted for cloture last night. I suspect at least 54 will vote in favor tonight. I'll bet you Dick Durbin and Dianne Feinstein, Jay, I bet they're not among them.
Is there a political cost to this, Jordan, what they did? Not in their states, but just kind of atmospheric.
Home state, but what I talked about earlier was they brought this on themselves. They make a circuit court nominee a rallying cry for religious liberty at a time when that was not really like a main issue in the news, right? So they brought this attention upon themselves. They're animus towards religious people. And the majority of Americans don't like when people show an animus towards religious people. It's why the angry atheists, we point out what they do, because it's so off-putting to the majority of people. Even people who don't consider themselves a very religious person don't like attacking others for being people of faith. So they made it an issue, and I think they overshot because they were testing this for, I think, the future. They're trying, could you use this on a Supreme Court nominee? And the answer is a resounding no, because what it does is actually rallies support behind someone that most people didn't know about. Even most of our listeners who are very informed would not know about a Fifth Circuit
nominee. The Seventh Circuit.
Yes, Seventh Circuit nominee.
All right, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. Logan, you got 10 seconds to tell everybody how.
All right, join us online, Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, at Jay Sekulow. You'll find us broadcasting live there now. Archive later on the ACLJ app and the Jay Sekulow Live podcast at ACLJ.org.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Halloween, as you can tell by the music. By the way, I am getting to show my age. You know what we're getting requests for? Edgar Winter's Frankenstein. So see if you can find that one, Ray.
By the Jay Sekulow Band.
We haven't done Frankenstein.
You've done a lot
Sorry.
Of other key songs.
We do a lot of key songs since we got a great keyboard from John Lowry.
Just play the first couple minutes of any of your songs and say it's Frankenstein. I think most people are like, oh, it is.
Oh, thank you.
It's just before the lyrics hit in, like by 3 minutes and all 30
we're
seconds.
Talking about we're talking about judicial nominees and Amy Barrett and others. GOP defeated a filibuster attempt last night by a 54-42 vote. Three Democrats joined the Republicans. That was Joe Manchin from West Virginia, John Donnelly from Indiana, and Tim Kaine. Van, a little surprise on that?
Well, you know what? He's a pretty religious fellow himself, faithful. Yeah. I think that's to Jordan's point, I think there are a number on the Democrat side that are really taking a lot of heat for Dine, Stein, and Durbin's approach on this. I was glad to see them break rank, Jay, but only three? I mean, really, only three Democrats voted for Amy Barrett when there's not a knock on her qualifications? I think that's embarrassing.
I thought Senator Ben Sasse had a good line of questioning with Judge Barrett. It's worth reflecting on. Let's go ahead and play it.
If we were to start ignoring this part of the Constitution, what sort of damage would that present to the Republic if people with particular religious views were excluded from public life?
I think it could cause all kinds of harm, I mean, including infringements upon religious freedom.
Thank you. I think some of the questioning that you've been subjected to today seems to miss some of these fundamental constitutional protections that we all have.
What Senator Sasse is referring to in particular is Article 6, which says that no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust under the United States. Yet, Andy, that was exactly and precisely what these senators that went on this line of attack on Judge Barrett were doing. And I think what Jordan said, which we'll reemphasize again, this really was a warm-up to see if they could pull this off for a Supreme Court nominee.
Well, that was exactly that. It was an attempt really to subvert the Constitution. Feinstein really disappointed me, but it was expected of her to make that statement, to ask this nominee whether or not, isn't it true that the dogma of religion runs deeply within you? So what if it does? Are we going to say that Justice Brandeis should not have been on the Supreme Court because he was Jewish?
Right.
Or Justice Goldberg should not have been? Or Justice Cardozo because he was Italian? Or even worse, Justice Scalia because he was Italian and he was a devout Catholic and his son was a priest? What a terrible thing. And his credentials should have been completely ignored because he had deeply religious feelings. That would have eliminated one of the greatest legal minds that ever was from being on the Supreme Court if we had applied that test.
If you don't remember the test, I'm going to play it for you again. This is, again, Senator Feinstein in the confirmation hearings.
When you read your speeches, the conclusion one draws is that the dogma lives loudly within you. And that's of concern when you come to big issues.
The conclusion one draws is the dogma lives loudly within you, which this is Halloween, but it reminds me of which Star Wars character was am I thinking?
You always think Yoda.
I think Yoda.
But I mean, he's a good guy.
He's a good guy, but he would ask something like that.
Yes.
He would say the dogma lives loudly within you. Or what would he say?
That's right. I don't know. We figured this out before.
Yeah, it was like loudly lives the dogma.
But I mean, and also like the Orthodox Christian line, which or Orthodox Catholic, which I like when she's like, I don't even think that's a term we use.
No, it's not. This is the angry atheist terminology being used. It's only the language of the. It's not the language of people who are not religious. It's the people it's the language of people who hate religious people.
Right.
And I use the word hate because they actually do hate religious people. They have a deep animus towards people who have any faith at all in a higher power. So they start throwing around terms like Orthodox, Catholic, and dogma lives deeply within you. The only people who use that term that I know of are the angry atheists and the Freedom From Religion Foundation types. But what do you expect from a San Francisco Democrat who's maybe in older age starting to show their true colors?
All right.
That was happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween. That's from Jordan.
We have exclusive videos coming up in the break, I guess. I'm going to assume, yes, we do have some exclusive videos coming up, but it's not me doing Macho Man impersonation.
But all right, but we will take phone calls as well. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to talk judges and tax reform. Tax reform up on the docket tomorrow. So we'll be joined by Professor Hutchinson. He'll join our team of four and make it five. And that'll be 1-800-686 with Van. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation. The rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
So we had a lot of requests for Edgar Winter's Frankenstein. And Jordan and Logan said it sounds like the beginning of most of the Jay Sekulow Band songs.
Yeah, that's actually fooling yourself. you got to give it about 4.5
and
minutes.
And Andy, as we know, whose wife is a music conductor, is a big fan of Edgar Winter. He's one of your favorites.
Don't even know who he is. Yeah. I have no idea.
Honestly. So you're like most people under probably 20, under 40 probably, but you're also... So, like, your musical taste will even out. So it's good.
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know who Edgar Bergen, I remember, and Charlie McCarthy, but that's about it.
Yeah, all right.
Different Edgar.
We're talking about judicial nominations, and we've got, look, I mean, here's what you got right now. 143 judicial vacancies. Of these vacancies, you have 60 that are deemed judicial emergencies. That means there's more than 600 cases per judge. 20 waiting for the Senate floor. And Than, you think this now means these votes start going and start happening pretty rapid fire here?
Well, it's now proof that the Senate doesn't need the Democrats to move them along. Five of them are going to be confirmed this week, Jay. And look, the pressure needs to remain on. Every single week that the Senate is in session, they should be approving multiple of these nominees. Even when there's other legislation on the floor, Jay, they can keep the Senate in overnight or longer into the week if they have to. They don't need Democrat votes. And yes, I think the pressure from the American people has paid off. Five confirmed this week. I would say any week that passes without multiple confirmed, that's a failure on the part of the Senate.
So now we've got a system where the judges are being confirmed finally. But Jordan, you think this was all a prelude test by the left to see if they could pull this kind of religious bias off at a Supreme Court nominee?
Yeah, so you use it on these nominees that usually don't get much attention. So, I mean, most of the time, people are not paying attention to circuit court nominees. It's just not the level. It's usually the ones who are even more controversial. Deals are made at the Senate. It's kind of, you know, they make it. Some don't make it. It doesn't become the biggest news of the day. But they made this an issue, and I think it was a test. And you test when the cameras are there, but they're not as focused. And they tried to see, could we use this kind of attack on religious faith this openly, this publicly, instead of doing it backhandedly, which is how they usually do. They ask questions about, you know, Roe versus Wade and your views on life, but they never quite say it's because of your religion. This time they came right out and said, you're too religious to be a judge. You're too religious in the United States of America to be on the Court of Appeals. And I think when they tested that, I don't think you're going to be hearing that again because of our reaction, because of the American people's reaction. And I think that's why you even had the Democratic nominee for Vice President of the United States vote yes on this nomination.
Yeah, Tim Kaine.
Not many, but
Tim Kaine was one of
them,
right?
Tim Kaine is a national leader for the Democrat Party.
Yep. So let me ask Professor Hutchinson this, because Professor Barrett was also an academic. She was well qualified, but their basis of disqualification, or at least the attempt, and there's been no votes, is her faith.
Absolutely. And it's clearly contrary to the Constitution. But it's important to note that many members of Congress cannot read the Constitution, or alternatively put, they add to the Constitution in order to exclude well-qualified nominees.
All right, so there you have it. But the good news is those votes are going to happen. And Stan said, if we don't get multiple through every week, we're failing. So that is something we're going to watch very aggressively here at the American Center for Law and Justice and at J Secular Live and all of our media platforms. Well, let's go ahead and take another phone call.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Lisa. She's been on hold for a while in Modesto, California. Here,
hey,
on
Lisa,
air.
Go ahead.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hey.
I was shocked and disgusted when I heard Senator Feinstein's comments. And in fact, I sent her an email telling her I felt she owed Amy Barrett an apology.
Yeah.
But my question is this.
Did she respond?
No. No.
Shocking.
And I've gotten emails from her before on other things, but she did not respond to that at all. But my question is, as a private employer, I am not legally allowed to ask those questions. I can be sued.
Right.
How is it that they think they can get away with this?
Well, Lisa raises a really good point. I mean, if as a private employer and you start doing that, they'll say it's discrimination based on religion.
And religion, right.
Yeah. And so yet the Senate thought they could get away with it basically with impunity.
Well, obviously, if you were to ask that question as a private employer, you would be sued. You would have a lawsuit against you filed instantaneously, and you should, because religious tests should not be required for employment. It should be whether you're qualified to do the job for which you're applying. But what a United States senator gets a different level of scrutiny when she asks the question. In other words, in the Senate, you can ask the question in a religious test, but we can't do it as a private individual. I don't think so.
So the president, minority leader of the United States Senate, Chuck Schumer, called the nominees extremists last night. Do we have that audio? Let's play it.
Senator McConnell, once again, despite his desire to make the Senate work, and I believe that is sincere, is bending to the hard right of his party by jamming through these judges, breaking the norms and traditions of the Senate in the process. I intend to oppose these extremist nominees.
To me, it's again, they cannot have their cake and eat it too on these issues. One, we live in a time. Donald Trump is president of the United States. Okay, so this is not a time where, honestly, I think that you have conservative nominees being put forward, but it's always the most extreme, the most out of control, and yet they go have the meetings with the president. They want to make deals with the president of the United States. This is so, it's all politics with them. They've lost all power because of what their former leader did. So Harry Reid changed a rule that made Chuck Schumer really have no power whatsoever. You could use a lot of different terminology, but at the end of the day, all he could do is it's the same old rhetoric. I mean, you think this is why they keep losing elections. Here's a little advice for the Democrats. Come up with some new rhetoric. Come up with some new words. Stop calling people extremists. We live in a time where, I mean, come on, our politics has gotten totally at a different level. We are at a different level politically. This is not 1987 anymore. So this idea of religious, what is extreme? We all know what extreme is. That's ISIS. That's the groups like that who take things, many steps further. this rhetoric of 1980s to try and pin people into this corner, I think America has we've gotten rid of that. We've embraced religion once again, and the freedom to be religious if you so choose. That's why these atheist groups, I think, have been so effective, ineffective, is because they've embraced this kind of radical anti-religious ideology, which doesn't appeal to most Americans. I mean, just most people, this is not, it seems anti-American to judge someone so negatively based on them being a faithful person.
All right, so Than, where does this put us right now? Because you've laid down a marker saying multiple approvals every week. What does that mean? Confirmation.
Well, look, I bristle when Senator Schumer says that they're jamming through these nominees. Jay, tomorrow it's going to be November, and one of the very few requirements that the Constitution gives the United States Senate is to confirm these nominees. Jay, last night was the ninth. Nine. Less than 10. Nine confirmations the U.S. Senate has confirmed. That's not acceptable.
No.
Yes, Democrats should be called out for stonewalling, but Jay, the Senate is confirming five judges this week. They should be confirming more than one every single week from here going forward.
All right, let's take another call or comment, Logan. Let's go ahead. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us.
This is an interesting comment from Connie. She said, does Feinstein think she's allowed to give a religious test?
This is a good question. I'll go to Andy and then Harry. I mean, she obviously she thought she could.
Well, I don't want to say what she thinks because she obviously doesn't think. Because if she thought and then read the Constitution, she would have known better than to ask a ridiculous question like that. So I don't want to get into the head of this person, Senator, who's right. Really not thinking whatsoever when she asks an absurd question like that.
So, Harry, the idea, I think what Jordan's right, is this was kind of laying a marker down for the Supreme Court. Because most people aren't paying attention to who's being nominated to the Courts of Appeal, which we do because it's really important. Because guess what? Most cases aren't decided by the Supreme Court of the United States. But on this particular nominee, they thought they could, a University of Notre Dame law professor, they thought they could drill down on her faith, and that would have been a prelude to what they think they can do on the next Supreme Court nominee.
Absolutely. So it's an article of faith among leftists to strongly support A, abortion, and B, to support the expansion of the size of government. On those two issues, Professor Amy Barrett stands as an opponent from their perspective. So the Democrats are prepared to rewrite and reinterpret, thank you, the Constitution. In order to preclude Amy Barrett's confirmation, and the United States Senate should not allow that to happen.
And then again, for everyone that's listening to this broadcast or watching on TV right now, we're expecting how many confirmations tonight?
There will be one tonight, but all four are teed up, and there was one last night, Jay. So by the end of this week, they will have confirmed five during the course of this legislative week.
And if you, the American people, didn't raise your voice on this, none of this would be happening. That's what makes a big difference here. So your voice has made a huge difference. All right, we're going into the last segment of the broadcast. Yep. Logan's going to let you know how you can get your comments and calls in. We'll be discussing this. I'm going to try to bring up tax reform a little bit. We at least have some parameters of what's going to be coming out tomorrow. Obviously, we'll get into more on that on the broadcast tomorrow.
That's right. Only a couple lines open. We'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110 to have your voice heard on the air today. You can still get your comments in. We'll take some of those during the break. And again, give us a call. Two lines open right now, 1-800-684-3110. Got a good bit left here.
You do. So I'm going to say, I want to ask you this last day of the month, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. Support the work of the ACLJ allows us to win these cases, fight these battles for you in Washington and around the globe again. ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your calls at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold.
You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
Creedence Clearwater Revival for you. How about that? Is that a
Before the Storm?
Is that a Halloween
before
song?
The storm.
Not really.
I mean, if you think about it, it's a Halloween song. You don't think of it as one, but it's like a Wolfman song. It's like, yeah. Calm Before the Storm. All right, should we take some calls?
All right. So let me. Let's go ahead and take some phone calls. Do that.
Nancy, California. You've been on about a half an hour. Thank you, Nancy. You're on the air.
Hey, Nancy. We're gonna send you a book because you've been on a long time. We're going to send you a signed book.
Oh, you're amazing. Thanks. You so much.
All right.
Hey, I just wanted to say that, when some of the people called them out, some of the senators called them out for, talking trash or whatever. But in today's society, the way that it goes, if we don't stop them while it's happening, it's going to happen again. They don't care if they get scolded is what I'm saying. It's kind of like me watching my neighbor's house getting broken into, but me not calling the cops. It's not going to stop them if they're not stopped in the middle of doing it and called out.
Well, I think, I think in this one, and I'll go to Jordan first on this and then Tham, but I think on this one, we caught it early when as soon as those statements were made, we got on it. We used our all of our platforms to discuss it. And the end result is she's being confirmed and these others will be too.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, ultimately they use this kind of language and it actually, it makes Judge Barrett, It raises their profile. I mean, long term, this is someone who, again, now will have a profile they likely would not have had on the circuit court. And
yep.
And that, who knows what that will mean for the future. But I think sometimes they actually make the mistake of making kind of these judicial rock stars out of people by targeting them when they know that, for the most part, they are ineffective now because of what Harry Reid has done. They changed the rules. You can't filibuster these people anymore like you used to. So using this language, it just kind of raises their profile to me. I mean, do they really believe that in America, in this day and age, calling someone dogmatic and too religious is going to work in this political environment?
But they really thought it would.
I mean,
yeah, that's the thing that's so bizarre.
This
they
is
thought
why
it
they
would.
Can't win national elections.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd say for Democrats, it's like having Tom Perez as their chair. I mean, I'm not trying to be partisan. But there's a problem with the rhetoric, and the rhetoric is why they cannot be successful when you think they would be.
Harry?
Jordan is precisely correct, but it's also important to realize that many Democrats live in what might be called an echo chamber. In other words, they are virtue signaling to their base, who adamantly oppose, if you will, interpreting the Constitution strictly. They don't really believe in the rule of law. It's all about pure politics all of the time.
Yeah. Well, the end result, though, Than, quickly, is those nominees are going to be confirmed and are being confirmed.
Well, it backfired. She moved to the front of the line for confirmation. She'll be confirmed tonight. And Jay, number two, I would say the people of Illinois and the people of California, they're the ones that should step up and insist on a senator that complies with Article 2 and Article 6 of the Constitution. It's really up to them.
Yeah, it really is. All right, let's go ahead and take some more phone calls here. 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Ryan on line one. You're on the air.
Hey, Ryan.
Yeah, so can a nominee refuse to answer a question based on the fact that it's a religious litmus test?
I think, Andy, the answer to that is a nominee could say, I'm sorry, that question's inappropriate. I'm not going to answer. There could be, I'm not sure that'd be the right political move. That's different than the legal move. But yes, I think you could say that's not appropriate.
I think politically that might not be smart. But yes, you know, if I was asked that question, I would say, what business is it of yours to know whether the dogma runs deep within me? That's a constitutional prohibition. You can't ask that question, and guess what? I'm not going to answer it. I would like to see that said sometimes.
All right, so let's go ahead, and I know I think you're, by the way, I think that's how you'd answer the question. I mean, Amy Barrett, I thought, was very respectful of the process, very respectful, and she's going to get confirmed. So, and your voices on this made a huge difference. All right, let's grab two more calls here.
All right, let's do it. Let's go to Larry in Virginia on line four. You're on the air.
Hey, Larry.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Yep. First, really enjoyed the Halloween bumper music.
There you go.
And the Macho Man Randy Savage glasses. Very Take cool, it. Sir.
That was Logan. This was all Logan today.
It's not all way to go, Logan.
Yeah,
that's
right,
rock
and roll. All
right. This was a test. What will the next test be? I mean, this test didn't work for them. Will there be another test, and what will it be?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. So, Jordan, that did not work, right? I mean, they go back to abortion as the test?
They go back to getting at it, right. They go back at it in a not as direct way. Abortion really was a religious litmus test.
Right.
It was the way to get at being too religious. But with that issue, they actually, this is how shocking this is. Their support of Roe is more popular in our country in the support
than their attack
of abortion
of religion.
Rights than their attack on calling someone dogmatically religious. That is how out of touch they are, is that they've gone from, I mean, the abortion issue already, see, I think they feel like they don't want to touch that directly because of all the controversy surrounding Planned Parenthood. So instead, now they're going to go right at the heart of this divide, except for the fact that this is a country built on religious freedom, and everyone bristles if you say someone is too religious.
Yeah.
And just put in place someone there who's an Orthodox Jew, who's a Muslim. What if you called someone an Orthodox Muslim? What does that even mean? I mean, the terminology doesn't exist for these faiths.
Unless you're like an Orthodox. There are. Right. I mean, Andy's Orthodox. But that's what he's a Greek Orthodox.
There are Orthodox religious traditions Orthodox that use Judaism, that terminology.
Right. But that was
but
not
if
the
you
context.
Just call everyone Orthodox because they believe in what their faith is, well, it just shows they have no understanding of religion whatsoever.
So
we know they don't.
Yes.
These are not people who should be talking about religious faith publicly, openly, off the cuff.
Because they embarrass themselves.
They have no understanding of what it means to have faith.
All right, so Fan, was the message received enough here that doesn't happen again, and they can then go about it the other way?
I think it depends which faction of the Democrat Party wins out, quite frankly, Jay. I don't think Dianne Feinstein and Dick Durbin have been scared away from this, but I think the votes last night of Joe Donnelly, Tim Kaine, and Joe Manchin suggest that they were hurt by this. I think there will be an internal struggle within the party, and whichever faction wins out, that will determine the course that they take.
All right, let's grab one last call. I'm going to try to then talk for a minute about taxes.
All right, Michael in California, you're up.
Hi, Michael.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
My comment is the reason they do these things is because they've gotten away with it so much and for so long that they think they can do anything. And it's imperative that we as the American people speak out and be vigilant to what is going on at all times.
No.
Otherwise, they just continue.
No question about it. And I will tell you this. I want to go back to Than quickly on this. We are counting how many get confirmed. And Than, you've laid down kind of a marker here. There need to be multiple nomination confirmations a week when they're in session.
Multiple every week. There's going to be five this week. Four of them are circuit court nominees. And Jay, the reason that Amy Barrett is number one is because the American people spoke out. If they continue to speak out, there needs to be more than one confirmation of a federal judge every single week in the Senate.
All right, tomorrow will be tax day. We're not going to get the tax plan is going to be unveiled tomorrow. We will get into that when we have time tomorrow. This is the last day of the month, obviously, and this is where you come in. We need your support at the ACLJ, and we encourage you to do that. You go right to aclj.org and make an online contribution to the ACLJ. Help us end this month strong. ACLJ.org. And there's a lot of ways for you to connect with us. Logan's going to let you know the multiple ways to stay engaged.
That's right, I will. You can find us online, ACLJ.org. You can find us broadcasting live on social media, Facebook.com/JSeculo, Periscope and Twitter @JSeculo. We're live archive later on the ACLJ app, available in the App Store for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV. And also look for ACLJ in the Roku channel marketplace. You can always subscribe to the JSeculo Live podcast, available on iTunes or however you get your podcasts. And that's going to do it for today's show. Happy Halloween, everyone.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.